Welcome back to The Deeper You Dive. Last episode, we analyzed the first part of the introductory track of East, titled Emily. We saw Joanna set the scene for the album by presenting themes including religion, man versus nature, art versus science, and particularly the relationship between her and her sister. We stopped at the chorus where Joanna failed to accurately remember the knowledge her sister tried to share with her. Let's pick up right where we left off.
You came and lay a cold compress upon the mess I'm in. Through the windows wide and cried, amen, amen, amen. The whole
Joanna opens verse 2 by detailing a scene which sees her sister coming to her aid. It appears the dream that was being described in verse 1 has ended, and now Joanna is referring to an event that actually occurred. A cold compress is a tool used to cool an injured area, most often to reduce inflammation. Joanna describes her situation as a mess, though it is unclear what has happened to her. She depicts the scene as if she were sick in bed and Emily came to nurse her. Emily throwing the window wide open reminds us of the part in verse 1 where Joanna sang, "Do you remember what they called up to you and me in our window?" Though it isn't clear why, Emily repeats the word Amen 3 times. Amen is a word used to close a prayer, meaning, so be it. So it is possible that Emily was praying for Joanna's health. We note that verse 2 picks up right where verse 1 left off with a religious theme. Joanna then says that the whole world stopped to hear Emily hollering, and that Emily looks out the window afterwards and sees what has happened. It is not said what Emily is hollering about, but the fact that the whole world stopped makes it sound like it was something important. This feeling is furthered when we consider that the window was initially closed, but then thrown open by Emily. Joanna was unwell in the privacy of her own home, but Emily throws the windows wide and potentially exposes Joanna's situation to the people below them. The last line of the stanza, where Emily is said to be looking down and realizing what was happening, has hints towards remorse. It seems likely that Emily exposed something to the townsfolk that Joanna was keeping secret, and regrets the action once she sees the commotion this caused.
The lines are fading in my kingdom.
Joanna sings that the lines of her kingdom are faded, and this should immediately make us think of the city of Ys, which was surrounded by a great wall to keep out the rushing tide of the sea. Aside from the parallel to the myth, this line also takes on symbolic meaning. Her kingdom can be interpreted as her innocence, her bubble. As children, we all exist in some sort of kingdom. Our parents do their best to protect us from the harsh reality we exist in, whether it be not letting you watch a PG-13 movie, or not letting you surf the internet as a kid, etc. This kingdom or bubble is vital to our development as humans. Without it, we would see the violent and horrid side of the world before we are old enough to comprehend and come to terms with it. For years, Joanna has existed in this kingdom, but it appears that whatever she is going through at the moment is tearing down the kingdom's walls. The fact that she has never known the way to border them in indicates her ignorance to these borders. She is not the one who built them. It was her parents and family protecting her. Joanna then describes the people who come to see her as baboons, sows, which is a name for female pigs, a grouse, which is a game bird, a horse and a hen. By describing those around her as farm animals, Joanna implies that she is disturbed by the sight of them. The following line sees the farm animals grope at the gate of the looming lake that was once a tidy pen. While ambiguous initially, we're going to cheat a little bit. Later on in this verse, Joanna sings that she's in search of a midwife. Not only that, but the third track of this album will make clear what we briefly touched on last episode. Joanna was pregnant in 2005. If we treat this as fact, then this is surely the secret that Emily let loose earlier in this verse. The farm animals groping at the gate is then a dexterous display of Joanna's songwriting ability. To grope is to feel or fondle someone, especially against their will. Looming is used to describe something as ominous or threatening. We can interpret the looming lake as Joanna's abdomen, which now carries a fetus but was once a tidy pen, in other words, small and not with child. Now that the news has spread to the townsfolk, visitors come to gawk at and fondle her bump despite Joanna's desire to be left alone.
And the mail is late and the greatest dates are not lit from within. The talking town be coming down right sickening. In due time we will see the far buttes lit by a flare. I've seen your bravery, and I will follow you there.
The mail being late and the great estate not being lit from within are both fairly ambiguous, but seemingly indicate the way the world has stopped upon discovering the news. It paints the picture of a dark and unkept town. The gossip has poisoned her environment. A butte is a geographical term describing an isolated hill, similar to a mountain. Joanna herself grew up around the Sierra Buttes. The flare could symbolize a rainbow, or potentially the sun, and both of these historically represent positive things. It appears Joanna is saying that eventually Emily's bravery will help lead her out of the darkness toward the light.
And I will follow you there, and go through the night time, so healthy. Unhealthy all of a sudden in search of a midwife who can help me, who can help me find my way back in. And there are worries where I've been.
The rowing in the nighttime should tie us back to both the line about the walls of the kingdom fading, as well as the myth of Ys. When the walls of Ys were breached, water rushed through the city, and Joanna seems to be alluding to a similar flood by the use of the word rowboat. She has also gone healthy all of a sudden, which likely implies the diet and drug restrictions suggested for pregnant women. Joanna says that she is in search of a midwife, which is a person who is trained to assist women with childbirth. Joanna then repeatedly asks who can help her, an admission of desperation. "Help me find my way back in" was a line used previously in this song to describe Joanna's waking from a dream. Here, its use could indicate that the previous scene she was describing was also a dream, or the meaning of the phrase could have changed. It seems more likely here that its use refers to being pulled back from a dark place or time in her life, supported by the next line claiming there are worries about where she has been. We also note that the orchestra repeats the same swell here that it did following the same phrase used in verse 1.
And say, and the lay of the bay, don't be bothered. Leave your troubles here where the tugboat cheer.
Say is a possible reference to a 1983 song titled Say by Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson. In the song, the phrase say means that the speaker is using too many unfounded claims, which makes the speech so pointless that no one cares about what they're saying. Applying this meaning to our song, Emily is becoming disinterested and frustrated with Joanna wallowing in her sadness. A lee is a sheltered part of some structure, so it appears Joanna and Emily's boat has found some shelter on the water. Emily encourages Joanna to leave her troubles here, or in other words, quit whining. To shear is to cut something, so tugboat shearing the water from the water describes the way the bow of a boat splits the water, leaving a wake. We should also note that the phrase water from the water is used in Genesis 1:6. A furrow is a long, narrow trench made in the soil by a plow. Flanked by furrows curling back like a match held up to a newspaper, paints the image of the rippling water hitting the sides of the rowboat, with furrows here being used to portray the miniature peaks and troughs of the ripples created by the tugboat. Tugboats help to pull boats that require maintenance and cannot drive on their own, so the tugboat could represent Emily's trying to pull Joanna ashore. If we continue with this interpretation, Joanna is seemingly unwilling to leave the water, which could symbolize her insistence upon wallowing in her sadness.
Emily, they'll follow your lead by the letter, and I make this climb, and I'm not ashamed to say I knew you better. What they've seen is just a beam of your sun that banishes winter. Ties that bind, they are barbed and spine, and hold us close forever. Though there is nothing would help me come to grips with a sky that is gaping and yawning, there is a song I woke with on my lips as you sail, dear great ship, towards the morning.
Joanna addresses Emily and says that the townsfolk that are gossiping about her will obey Emily's word. Emily not only exposed the secret to the public, but her attempts to remedy and help Joanna appear to be half-hearted and superficial. Joanna makes that clear to her. Joanna says that the townsfolk have only seen the positive and wonderful side of Emily, but infers that there are layers to her sister that they do not know of. With the words, "Let us go," she may be demanding to be released from her sister's bond. The fact that she uses "us" suggests she isn't telling Emily to release her, but rather asking some greater power to separate the two so that she does not have to follow her sister. The ties that bind refer to the blood ties between the two sisters. Right now, the ties are barbed and spined, as they have entered a difficult chapter in their relationship. Despite the issues they are facing, their bond as sisters ties them together forever, regardless of the difficulties they face or the desire to be removed from their ties. Interestingly, Emily actually provides supporting vocals in this verse, which adds to the intimacy of this exploration of their relationship. We then see Joanna admit that there is nothing that could help her come to grips with a sky that is gaping and yawning. This personification of the sky wonderfully portrays Joanna's inability to understand the universe. This line removes the blame from Emily, as Joanna acknowledges that the situation she finds herself in cannot be mended by any external being. She is having an existential crisis. It may help to talk to others during periods like this, but ultimately the issue arose from within the individual and can only be resolved within the individual. Verse 2 ends as Joanna describes Emily sailing off to the sun without her, and an idea for a song pops into Joanna's head as she watches her sister leave.
Come. All have fallen, and the pollen ruins the plow.
Verse 3 begins, and we immediately see the tempo slow to a crawl. The orchestra fades as the verse opens with the call of someone asking Joanna to return home, and it is a rational assumption that this is the call of one of her parents. Poppies are the state flower of California, Joanna's home state. Poppies are perhaps most famous for their medicinal usage. If and only if the poppies are harvested early, their seeds can be used to make narcotics. In fact, poppies are commonly used to make things like opium, morphine, and codeine. Knee Deep suggests that the poppies are overgrown, so it is unlikely a direct reference to the narcotic usages of the flower. But considering the next few lines mention peonies, another flower used for medicinal purposes, we do note the narcotic properties of the poppies. Lastly, poppies bloom in the spring, and their potential overgrowth portrays the scene of late spring or early summer. Blossoms having fallen continues the idea of past harvest time, drawing an unkept and untidy scene. Pollen ruining the plow is fairly ambiguous, but here's a potential interpretation. Though scientifically pollen is very different from seeds, perhaps Joanna is describing the pollen as if it were the narcotic part of the plant. The pollen ruining the plow could then be interpreted as drugs ruining the productivity of an individual, further supported by the unkept nature of the farmland. This interpretation fits nicely with the next few lines. Peonies are a plant that has been used in Eastern medicine for generations. Both flowers having medicinal qualities reinforces the need for healing, while also presenting a contrast. Poppies followed by peonies should remind us of the line in verse 1 about pharaohs and Pharisees, and could symbolize the two different styles of medicine, East and West. Eastern medicine does not fully rely on science, often drawing off of what has been effective for previous generations rather than what science tells you should work. Western medicine ditches superstition entirely, focuses solely on what can be proven with facts. These two differing styles of medicine should remind us of something covered in the previous episode, Old Testament versus New Testament, as well as art versus science. Both are striving for similar goals, only differing in the way in which they attempt to achieve those goals.
Peonies nod in the breeze, and while they wetly bow with hydrocephalic listlessness ants mop up their brows.
Continuing with the lyrics, the next line has one of the most distinct Joanna Newsom phrases ever. And while they wetly bow, with hydrocephalic listlessness, ants mop up their brow. Wetly bow indicates the water or dew on the peonies weighing the flowers' heads downwards. Hydrocephalus is a condition that occurs when there is excess water on the brain, which is dangerous and can lead to brain damage. Listlessness is used to describe something that is languid, spiritless, or indifferent. This line poetically expresses the weight of the water on the flowers' heads causing the stems to bend downwards, in turn allowing ants to climb into the flower head and drink the flower's nectar. The lethargic harp being played perfectly complements the drooping, heavy-headed lyrics of this stanza. We also acknowledge the multiple personifications of the peonies. First, they are nodding in the breeze, then they're bowing, then they are given a brain condition which explains their bowing.
Everything with wings is restless, aimless, jumping down. Butterflies and birds collide at hot, ungodly hours. And my clay-colored motherlessness rangely reclines. Come on home.
This stanza is among the most difficult to interpret in the whole song. The only interpretation I have of this first line occurs when we note that Joanna will describe herself as a bird in the third track of this album. This interpretation of herself being one of the winged creatures fits well when describing them as restless, aimless, drunk, and dour. Like the opening stanza of this verse, the descriptions of these organisms are heavily dosed with drugs. Another possibility relating to these lyrics is that it could be a play off the phrase, the birds and the bees. Birds and butterflies colliding at hot, ungodly hours could be describing her careless love life at the moment. Clay-colored motherlessness is probably the most difficult one to interpret. The color of clay varies greatly depending on what type of soil exists around it. In sculpting, though, the most common clay types are colored gray, which could allude to a lifelessness present in this individual. Joanna says, "My clay-colored motherlessness," which seems to imply she is the subject. Her motherlessness could be referring to the carelessness which she is treating her body with, despite being with child. On the contrary, some time has passed since the scene described in verse 2 of this song, so perhaps Joanna has had an abortion, and this motherlessness has a very literal meaning. In this interpretation, the gone healthy version of Joanna present in verse 2 is replaced by an inebriated and negligent Joanna. The next line sees Joanna repeat the phrase, "Come on home now." There is no clear-cut interpretation as to who says this to who, but if we continue with the idea that Joanna is the subject of the previous lines, potentially Joanna is calling for her sister to return home, as we know the two separated in the last verse. The line also includes, "All my bones are dolorous with vines." Dolorous is defined as feeling great sorrow or distress. Dolorous with vines is an illustrative way to describe the distress Joanna feels within her own bones in this time. Vines here seemingly relate to our veins, so make note of yet another exploration of mankind's relation to nature. Dolorous also sounds like the name Dolores, which is a character in the book Lolita, written by Vladimir Nabokov. In an interview with The Guardian, Joanna said, quote, "In the song Emily, there's a reference to Lolita, not directly to the character, but to the heavy, languorous energy, that listlessness and decadence, the rangy, long limbs of her adolescence," end quote. Joanna tells us how her father pointed something out that he has shown her many times before, as old men do. Her father points out the ladle leading to a dirt-red bullet of light, which describes the Big Dipper, a group of stars inside the Ursa Major constellation known as the Great Bear. After these lines, we get one of the most awe-inspiring verses in music history. Joanna's voice becomes tender and caring as she describes her father instructing her to look at the sky and observe. The religious themes presented throughout the song have led us to believe that Joanna was raised Christian, so loving him likely refers to loving God himself. To move within his borders is to move within the borders of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is often used to describe heaven, but just as frequently used to describe the earthly domain he rules over. Borders should remind us of the borders Joanna said were fading in verse 2, and also the borders of the lost city of Ys. If we continue with the interpretation of these borders serving as a bubble to protect from the harsh realities of the world, Joanna looks to be commenting on the bubble religion provides for those who believe. Regardless of your own personal beliefs, it can be said that religion protects those who believe. So long as you follow the rules of the particular religion, you will have lived a worthwhile life. You are never truly alone because you have God by your side, and you believe at the end of your days you will reap rewards of eternal pleasure for having dedicated your life to Him. I do not mean to suggest that religion makes life easy for anyone. Depression, loneliness, and hardship find their way into every human life, regardless of what they believe. However, I would argue religion unquestionably makes life more fulfilling and less bleak for those who believe. With these lines, Joanna seems to be relating the protective walls provided by religion to her own protected walls of her innocence. Continuing, "Asterisms are patterns of stars that are smaller than constellations. They are not constellations, however, because they only appear to be patterns from our perspective on Earth, whereas constellations are an officially recognized area of the universe. The use of asterisms here perhaps alludes to our warped perception of the universe as humans, being as we have only ever existed on one planet in an infinite cosmos. Set order is a really curious choice of words that has hints of determinism. Determinism is defined as the doctrine that all events, including human action, are ultimately determined by causes external to the will. It feels like Joanna is suggesting that the stars are the real show of the universe, and we are but mere accidents with no control over our lives, insignificant in the grand scheme of things. The meaning of this line isn't quite clear, but it certainly contrasts the religious ideas presented in the previous lines, as all Christians believe in free will. Joanna continues depicting the scene of her gazing at the stars, in awe of the great beauty of the universe. The use of heads cocked describes how dogs and other animals, including humans, often cock their heads when they don't understand something. The broad daylight illustrates how suddenly obvious it all is to Joanna. In her star-struck state, she simply sees the joy of being alive. Looking at the stars can fill us with great amazement, as we can appreciate how lucky we are to exist here, in our small pocket of the universe. But, just as quickly as it came, it leaves. Landlocked in bodies that don't keep, dumbstruck with the sweetness of being, till we don't be. I'm just going to repeat that, because I think it's the most beautiful line I have ever heard. Landlocked in bodies that don't keep, dumbstruck with the sweetness of being, till we don't be. With this line, Joanna remarkably captures our inability to always see the joy in life. We are emotionally restless beings, and though we would like to only see the good in life, we often fall to the darkness. Upon saying, "Told, take this and eat this," Joanna's voice rages. "Take this and eat this" is the phrase used during Holy Communion, and Joanna's flaring vocals indicate her inability to accept this. She is unwilling to trust in faith's impossibly simple explanation of the universe she finds herself in. Before she sings the final chorus, she repeats the word "told." If we can interpret the chorus as relating to Emily's understanding of the universe, then Joanna displays her unwillingness to accept the minuscule answers science provides us about the universe. She is told to accept both the scientific and religious explanations of life, but she cannot. Joanna's parents and sister both attempt to help her see how they understand the universe, but Joanna sees flaws in all of their beliefs. Joanna, like many of us, cannot seem to find something she believes in. Conclusions. The intro to East is a monumental track, a whopping 12-minute song full of rich themes and imagery. Despite its lengthiness, it's still astonishing just how much she fits into one song. Most artists do not have as many powerful themes and concepts presented in entire albums, let alone one track. The title and much of the song is clearly a dedication to Joanna's sister. In a 2006 interview with Arthur Magazine, Joanna said this of the song, quote, "In some ways, this song is a tribute to her, and in other ways, it is like a plea, a letter to her about some stuff that's happening close to home, and a reference to the fact that a lot of the little structures and kingdoms and plans we built when we were younger are just falling to fucking pieces," end quote. I really like that quote because Joanna tends to stay away from expletives, but goes right for the F word there. I just think it helps show how big of a deal this event was. Verse 1 sees Joanna setting the scene for the entire album. She describes the world around her using figurative language, which gives the world a fantastical essence, almost fairy tale-like. Words like chimchurri, followed by sparrow, begin to explore this idea of what is real and what is fantasy. Joanna personifies the world around her and brings up tools like yokes and axes to present the concept of man's relationship to nature, the natural world, and the world mankind has built. Alongside this vibrant imagery, we saw Joanna navigate the differences between her and her sister, and simultaneously, the differences between art and science. Verse 1 was also riddled with parallels to the myth of Ys, as well as ideas that will be fully fleshed out in the subsequent tracks of the album. Verse 2 displayed Joanna's struggles and Emily's runny mouth. The verse begins with Emily accidentally letting the secret spill about Joanna's pregnancy. Emily regrets this, but her attempts to fix her mistake turn out to be half-hearted, though we remember that Joanna is determined to wallow in her misery, regardless of her sister's attempts to help. Joanna admits that at the end of the verse, that there is nothing that could help her at the moment, as the crisis she is having is not one which can be mended by anyone else. Verse 3 saw Joanna return home to her parents' house, apparently in an inebriated state. The personification of the landscape returns in full force in this verse as she describes the scene at home. Like Emily, her parents try to help Joanna make sense of the universe around her. But, like Emily's beliefs, Joanna refuses to accept the porous answers to the universe's biggest questions that her family members present her with. These three verses, these vignettes, do not tell a singular story, but are rather all linked and tied together in various ways, creating a cohesive yet abstract introduction to our album. Emily is a lengthy but simultaneously dense track full of layers and double meanings, but above all else, the focus of this track is Joanna's existential crisis. The path Van Dyke Parks directs the orchestra throughout the song mirrors Joanna's lyrical meandering as she searches for something to believe in. Where the Milk-Eyed Mender is full of a collection of shorter songs, Ys immediately separates itself. The length of the song, the orchestration throughout, and the large, heavier topics it tackles are all new for her. Where Joanna goes from here is not clear, but it will surely continue this maturation from what Joanna appeared to be before to the emerging artist we have just begun to see. That concludes this episode of The Deeper You Dive. Be sure to tune in next week when we dive into the album's second track, Monkey and Bear.